This is Rhea. Welcome to Little Stories for Tiny People. Our story today is about a rabbit on her very first day at her new job at Forest Mart. It's a place you might have heard mentioned before, and now you get to see it for yourself. It's called Welcome to Forest Mart. Take it away, Oliver.
Remember, there are no pictures. You have to imagine the pictures in your mind. You can imagine them however you want. Okay, let's go!
Welcome to Forest Mart. We have two exciting specials today. Beetle hot sauce is now buy one, get one free. The perfect topping to make your beetles tastier than ever. And we've got another sale on no eat spray. The perfect way for beetles to make themselves taste unappetizing. Find both in aisle two.
Clover G. Rabbit hopped through the automatic doors of Forest Mart and smiled at the mouse who perched on a stool, greeting each and every single customer who entered.
Welcome to Forest Mart, where woodland wonders await. Welcome to Forest Mart. So happy to have you here today.
Clover approached the mouse.
Hello, may I help you?
Today is my first day of work. I was told to report to
the service desk. Yes, right over there. I'm Sweettail, and you are?
Clover.
Welcome to the Forest Mart team, Clover. You are going to love working here. Mostly.
Thank you. Clover nodded to Sweettail and headed to the service desk, taking in her surroundings as she went. Forest Mart was located in the deepest part of the woods. It had fencing around the perimeter, but it was open to the trees and to the sky above. There were rows and rows of products, acorns, tools, furniture, tree decor. Music filtered down from little speakers attached to large trees throughout the store. Occasionally, an employee's voice interrupted the music with an announcement.
Bob, we have an OBA in aisle 8. Bob, OBA in aisle 8.
Or a special offer.
Don't miss today's special sale on tree bark jerky. Make your way to the dried delicacies counter to take one home in your paws today.
You name it, Forest Mart had it. Like everyone else in the forest, Clover had been there more than a few times. She'd never expected to work there. She'd wanted to work somewhere small, manageable, but every time she found a job at such a place, it never worked out. As she waited at the service desk, her mind drifted to the jobs she'd held over the last year and how they'd come to an end.
Clover, so glad I reached you. Look, you don't need to come into work today.
Oh, okay.
Or ever.
Wait, what?
Remember when I mentioned that we had a tiny, probably super minor boll weevil problem?
Yes.
I might have been downplaying it. Garland's Aren't Forever will be closing its doors permanently. Oh, hey, don't... Clover, I have to go. Fred knocked over the tower of porcelain cups again.
Okay, bye. Clover, you're here. Yes, my shift is today. Rogelio was supposed to call you. Look, we've had a good run here at Nibbled Elegance, an upscale secondhand rodent tuxedo shop. But...
But what?
Looks like we're gonna have to close our doors. And never open them.
I don't understand.
There was a cufflink incident involving... Clover was startled out of her reverie. She looked down to see she'd knocked over a mug perched on the service desk. It lay on the ground, splintered into shards. A white liquid seeped out of it. Clover's mind raced. She had always been clumsy when she was nervous. I cannot lose this job. I cannot lose this job. The broken mug was behind the desk, out of sight. Clover considered trying to clean it up, but...
Sorry to keep you waiting. Clover, is it?
A tall prairie dog with bottle green glasses peered down at her.
I'm Rhonda, your supervisor,
the prairie dog said, extending a paw. All business, Clover thought to herself as they shook paws.
Come on,
Rhonda said.
Let's get you your vest.
Clover took a last glimpse at the broken mug, decided there was no point in drawing further attention to it, and followed her new supervisor.
Just tie the strings in the front.
Yep, that's right. Rhonda helped Clover into a neon orange vest in the employee break room, located in a tree hollow. Clover peered at the name on the vest, reading it upside down.
Gertrude?
Your vest didn't come in yet.
Okay.
Next, Rhonda showed Clover how to clock in for each shift.
Just take your employee card here and hold it out for Marvin to punch.
A plump gerbil wearing a tiny neon orange vest sat inside a little booth that had a slot just wide enough for Clover's card to fit through. She pushed it into the slot, and Marvin, the gerbil, chomped down on it with his enormous front teeth. Then he nudged it back through the slot, and Clover caught it before it fell. There were two neat marks on her card.
You're on the clock. Congrats,
Rhonda said, taking Clover's card from her and slipping it inside a little chute.
Thanks, Marvin.
Marvin smiled and nodded to Clover.
Have a great day, Gertrude.
Rhonda took Clover on a tour of the store. Their first stop was aisle one, which Clover gathered was focused on tree decor. There were chandeliers made of walnut shells, glittery stickers marketed as spiderweb decor, and countless wooden signs with messages like Hibernation Station, Live, Laugh, Burrow, and the ever-popular Home is Where the Acorns Are Stashed.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hey there, Bob.
Bob, a stout groundhog wearing a neon orange vest, stood on the fourth step of a ladder, reorganizing a shelf filled with cans of whisker oil.
Bob, this is Clover. It's her first day with us.
Bob looked down and gave Clover a broad smile.
Hey there. Welcome to...
Bob, we have an OBA in aisle 8. Bob, OBA in aisle 8.
Ah, twice already today. See you later, Rhonda. Nice to meet you, Chloe.
It's Clove, but Bob was gone. Clover hurried behind Rhonda as she speed-walked towards the next aisle.
Rhonda, what does OBA mean?
Oh yes, you'll be hearing that a lot. Overcome by acorns.
Aisle 8 is kind of a disaster. It's where we keep all the loose acorns, and they avalanche at least twice a day.
Avalanche?
Trust me, I've tried to get management to come up with a different system. Honestly, I think they like the drama of it all. Plus, we've gotten a few reporters out here covering it, so I guess it's good for publicity.
I'm here at Forest Mart, investigating the frequent avalanching of acorns in aisle 8. With me is a witness, Edith Squirrel, who says the avalanche came unexpectedly as she was collecting acorns for a pie.
It would have been a delicious pie. It was my grandmother's recipe. First, you must soak the acorns for 3 days. Then, you sun-dry them on a...
Edith, can you tell us about the avalanche itself and Forest Mart's response to it?
Well, it took me by surprise. It certainly did. I nearly twisted my ankle, that's for sure. A groundhog appeared to clean it up.
Just then, Clover spotted a startling creature at the end of the aisle. It was a hairless cat. completely hairless, working on a display.
"Hey, CJ,"
Rhonda said. CJ turned to regard them both. Clover looked at the display he was creating. It was an enormous tower of bottles.
"Hi, Rhonda," he said, glancing at Clover, but saying nothing further.
He turned back to his work.
"CJ, this is Clover. It's her first day on the team."
CJ turned back, looking like he'd rather do anything besides give Clover a warm welcome. He peered at the name on Clover's vest.
"Welcome to Forest Mart, Gertrude."
"Clover,"
Rhonda said, arching a brow.
"Right, Clover. Hey, Rhonda. I left my morning mug of milk on the service desk for 2 minutes today, and when I got back, it was gone. You know anything about that?"
Clover knew something about that. She gulped.
"Gulp?" "I don't know, CJ. I've seen a lot of things today,"
Rhonda said, giving him a wave. CJ flashed a suspicious look at Clover and turned back to his work. Rhonda gestured with a paw up and down the aisle.
"So this aisle is spices, hot sauces, and salsas. Anytime anyone is looking for a dressing, anything like that, they can find it here. We have every spice you could think of, but they can be a little difficult to find. You can go by the tag."
Next, they visited the returns booth. A spider was on the desk inside the booth, and Clover reflexively put out a paw to clear it away. But Rhonda stopped her.
"That's Cheryl. She works returns."
"Hey, Cheryl."
"Hi, Rhonda. Hello there,"
Cheryl said, nodding to them both.
"This is Clover. It's her first day. Why don't you tell her how returns work?"
"Of course. The truth is, we take almost anything as a return. One time, we had a wombat bring back a shoe he had burnt to a crisp. We didn't actually take that one, but pretty much everything else."
Cheryl explained a few more details about returns.
"They can get a bag of acorns, a replacement, or store credit."
Then Rhonda led Clover away.
"Thanks, Cheryl."
"No problem."
Once they were out of earshot, Clover turned to Rhonda. "So, Rhonda, I was wondering about, well..."
"Let me guess. CJ?"
"Yes. About his milk," Clover began, but Rhonda cut her off with a wave of her paw.
"He's hairless. Oh, I mean harmless. Now this is my favorite aisle."
There was a twinkle in Rhonda's eyes as she looked up and down the rows and rows of glass jars. Clover peered at them, squinting.
"Are those pickles? Like I said, my favorite aisle."
Thousands of pickle jars sat neatly on the wooden shelves. They were all different colors. An enormous raven sat on the top shelf, seemingly trying to open a jar.
"Hey, get out of there!"
Clover watched, wide-eyed, as Rhonda scampered over and scrambled up the shelves. She batted at the raven with a paw while speaking into her walkie-talkie.
Bob, we've got another raven opening pickle jars."
"Be right there, Rhonda."
The raven, only faintly bothered by Rhonda's paw swipes, fluttered several yards away and got to work on a different jar. Rhonda clambered down from the shelf, scowling.
"You wouldn't believe what we go through with the ravens."
She collected herself and left the raven to be dealt with by Bob, taking Clover through the rest of the pickle aisle.
"You've got your carrot pickles, beet pickles, mushroom pickles, snail pickles, beetle pickles, pickled tree roots, pickled shrub roots."
As Rhonda continued listing the pickle varieties, Clover's mind wandered. From now on, she'd get to spend every day stocking shelves, helping customers find items, and other duties at this magnificent store. She'd opened a new chapter in an entirely new book. She watched as birds circled the open skies above. The sky was a gorgeous shade of blue, and Clover's thoughts and Rhonda's recitation of pickle varieties were both interrupted by the intercom. What is...
It's the 1,000th customer song. Don't worry, you'll pick it up.
Every employee in the store began to sing.
It's our favorite time of day. It's time to shout hooray, hooray. Don't be shy, give a cheer, our 1,000th customers here. Don't be shy, give a cheer, our 1,000th customers here. Wahoo!
Clover watched Rhonda with a mix of fascination, bewilderment, and warmth. It might have been the cheesiest thing she'd ever heard, but she couldn't help being charmed. Rhonda gave a last clap and grinned at Clover.
You'll get used to it. Let's go, we've got a lot to cover.
Rhonda proceeded to show Clover the sporting goods aisle.
Mouse rockets are very popular. Not among mice, but everyone else loves them.
The hammock aisle.
Do not let the customers remove the hammocks from the packaging. It's impossible to get them back in. And no returns on any hammocks. It's a long story.
And the tail sock aisle.
This aisle is only tail socks. Foot socks are in aisle 37.
Eventually, they came to the furniture section. There were sofas, lounges, and armchairs, all stuffed with leaves. A nervous-looking lizard wearing a neon orange vest scurried over.
Hey, Bruce, how's it going?
Hey, Rhonda. Look, sorry to bother you with this, but there's another badger asleep on one of the couches.
Seriously? Clover, here, you can stock these tail socks in aisle 10.
Rhonda said, taking a box and handing it to Clover.
Sure thing.
Rhonda disappeared around the corner, and Clover headed to aisle 10. As she did, she passed an enormous clock fixed to a tree in the center of the store. She did a double take, hardly believing that time had passed so quickly. She was nearly done with her shift. It wasn't until that moment that Clover realized how much her nerves had been rattling her all day. Alone, in aisle 10, slipping tail socks onto little hooks, she finally relaxed. It was her first moment alone the entire day. She worked steadily, listening to the music filtering down from the speakers. She'd know every song in a week or two if they ran on a loop like they did at her last job. Clover's thoughts wandered as she worked, mulling over the events of the day. Then she heard a voice come over the intercom.
Who spilled my milk, huh? Huh? Who did it? At first, I thought somebody moved it. But then I come to find shards of my mug on the ground. Somebody spilled my milk.
There were several chipmunks shopping for tail socks near Clover, and she watched as they turned to look up at the nearest speaker, their backs pinned straight. The entire store seemed to hush. Clover froze in place, in the very same way she did when she sensed a fox slinking behind a nearby shrub.
How would you like it if you had a perfectly nice mug of milk just sitting there waiting to be drinked? Or drank, whatever, and somebody just comes along and cracks your mug into pieces, spilling your precious milk everywhere, huh?
There was a rustling sound on the intercom, then another voice.
CJ, what did I say about using the intercom for personal use? Employees cannot... Well, I'm not an employee after this. I quit, Rhonda. You hear me? I quit.
For a moment, it seemed as though time itself stopped. The chipmunk stared, unmoving, up at the speaker. The entire store was silent. It lasted for a few seconds. The chipmunks went back to browsing. Birds swooped in the air above. A frog hopped past Clover, muttering to himself,
"Well, where are the foot socks?"
Clover remained fixed in place, the same way she did when she spotted a hawk. She saw the splintered mug in her mind's eye. Her tummy filled with dread. Forest Mart was alive with activity. The cheerful music carried on without a hitch. Customers milled through the aisles, searching for both necessities and trinkets. Clover's mind kept replaying the moment she knocked over the milk. A different voice came over the intercom.
"Clover, please report to the employee break room. Clover, please report to the employee break room."
This could not be happening. She was Clover, and she was about to lose her job again. And this time, it wouldn't be because the store was going out of business. Clover rose from her kneeled position and felt indignation swell within her. "If they're going to fire me for spilling milk, that's it. I don't even want this job. This is just wrong. This is unfair. This is..." Before she knew it, she was inside the break room. Rhonda was sitting at a table with a stack of papers in front of her. Her paws were steepled on the tabletop. Nearby, an employee sat eating a grass salad and listening as a small radio blared the news.
"Next up, we'll hear from local beavers on what to do about the log thief."
"Clover, come, sit." Clover blinked back tears and was immediately angry at herself. "Clover, get it together."
"So, I called you in here to..."
"Rhonda, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity." Rhonda had been scanning the top paper on her stack. She tore her eyes from it to look at Clover. Her bottle green glasses slipped down her nose, and she pushed them back up.
"Okay.
If you decide to change your mind, I'll make sure you don't regret it. I'm a hard worker. I really am. If I could just get one more chance, I'll..."
"Clover."
"Yes?"
"I called you in here to do some paperwork for new employees."
Clover blinked.
"Paperwork?" "It looks like a lot, but it should only take a few minutes."
Rhonda smiled. Clover glanced at the papers. They were not the sort of papers you'd fill out if you were losing your job. One of them was a questionnaire with items like, "What's your favorite forest treat?" and "What's your favorite aisle in Forest Mart and why?" She cleared her throat.
"You're not firing me?" "Firing you?"
But CJ..."
"Oh, that scene he made back there? Over the milk?"
"Well, the truth is, it was me who knocked over his milk."
Clover, look at me. "CJ does that every day."
Clover felt her heart slow down a touch. "I'm not sure I understand."
"CJ quits at the end of every shift."
"He does?
Not usually over the intercom. That was a creative twist. He always shows up the next day, like clockwork."
It took a second for Rhonda's words to sink in. "Is it always so dramatic?" Rhonda thought back to CJ's declarations over the years.
"And another thing, everyone calls me hairless. Well, guess what? I'm furless, okay? Furless. No cats have hair. You get me?"
"Pretty much."
Clover laughed because it was funny, but also because she was so relieved to not be losing her job. Rhonda guided her through the paperwork, page by page. Afterwards, she clocked out by having Marvin punch her card.
Have a great night, Gertrude.
Thanks, Marvin. Clover hopped out of the break room in a daze. On her way to the exit, a goose wearing a shimmery green sweater approached her.
Excuse me.
It took Clover a second to realize, in her addled state, she'd forgotten to take off her neon orange vest. She smiled at the goose, at her customer.
Yes, may I help you?
Could you tell me where to find a fox swatter? The kind you use to swat away foxes?
Clover searched her mind. Then she felt relief spread over her like fog settling over the forest on a damp spring morning. She knew the answer to this question. It's in aisle 17, on the upper shelf towards the back of the store.
Thank you kindly.
The goose plodded away to find her fox swatter.
Bob, we've got an OBA in aisle 8. Bob, OBA in aisle 8.
Clover hopped home, enjoying the beauty of the forest at twilight. Starting something new is always nerve-wracking, no matter how prepared you are. I know that from experience. But eventually, once you get your bearings and you learn the quirks of your new workplace or school or pickleball team, you settle in. Perhaps we'll see how Clover is doing once she settles in. Little Stories for Tiny People is written, performed, and produced by me, Rhea Pector. My in-house tech director, Peter Kay, runs my website and puts my stories on the internet for all of you to enjoy. Thank you to my Little Stories premium subscribers who are making it possible for me to keep doing this. If you'd like to get more of the stories you love, access to Little Stories for Sleep, an exclusive bedtime podcast, and ad-free listening, join or gift a subscription at littlestoriespremium.com. Thank you to Oliver for the super important reminder message at the beginning. And thank you, as always, for listening in.